Hey, you guys. So we're doing another book review today. So not too long ago, a couple weeks back, I got an email from a Pennsylvania-based author and poet named Oliver C. Seneca. And in this email, he asked if I would like to receive an ebook copy of his latest novel, which is called Faces in a Window, for me to review. So, of course, I was like, hey, free shit, I'm all over that. So I was like, yeah, send it to me. And he's like, no rush, you don't have to, you can wait. I know, you have other things to review and stuff, but if somebody sends me a book, I usually like to review it as quickly as possible. So as soon as I was done with the couple that I had already started, then I got into this one. So this book, Faces in a Window, was published by Sunbury Press in late March of 2022. So it's very, very recent. So I will not spoil anything about it because it's only been out for a month, month and a half, something like that. This is actually his second novel. His first one was called When the Sky Goes Dark, and that came out back in 2019. I went to his website and read the description of that one. That one sounds kind of more like an apocalyptic type of thing. Like there's a big brawl like on a campus and a bunch of people die, and then kind of just it seemed kind of like a, maybe this isn't what it is, but it seemed like kind of like a rage virus type situation, which sounded good, but like I said, like apocalyptic. But this one that he sent me, Faces in a Window, is a lot more kind of an intimate ghost story, haunted house, or actually haunted school type situation. And I'm kind of more into that than I am apocalyptic stories, although the apocalyptic one sounded pretty good as well. Now, I will say from the start that this is a pretty solid, well-written novel. Has some kind of cool, like spooky imagery. Reminded me a little bit if you've seen the movie We Are Still Here with Barbara Crampton, and I think Larry Fessenden is in it. When did that come out? 2015, 2016, something like that. But this kind of gave me a little bit of that sort of vibe, although that's kind of more over the top and gory and stuff. But I don't know, some of the imagery in that like reminded me of this. This also has a little bit of like a sort of old-fashioned autumn in New England type of vibe, almost sort of like I want to say like the Lady in White or something like that. And I like that type of stuff. But there were some issues I had with it, and I'll kind of get into that later on because I was having like a hard time like articulating what they were. I did enjoy this overall, but I'll try and see if I can sort out kind of how I felt about it later on. So, the story gets out to a pretty rousing start, and you get like interested in it right away. So, in the very first scene, you have this elderly man, and he's pretty much like driving like a bat out of hell away from a school where he had been teaching. This is only like a page or two into it. And so, somewhere along the way, there's a reference to another teacher at the same school who recently died of some aggressive form of cancer. And then the old man who's driving, and he's kind of like thinking to himself, and his thoughts are racing and stuff. And then he looks in his rearview mirror and he sees a vision of like all these charred-looking people back there. And at that point, he like plows into a tree or a phone pole or something like that and goes flying through the windshield and he dies. So, like I said, this is like the first 2 pages. So I was like, okay, you got my attention. So, after this prologue, then we're introduced to our two main protagonists. And these are really the two characters. There are a lot of characters, but these are really the only two that you spend a significant amount of time with. One of these characters is Ian Evans, who's kind of this sort of laid-back history teacher. He's like a younger guy, like in his 20s, late 20s. He's just taken his first full-time teaching position at a Catholic middle school called St. Stephen's, and this is in a really small town in Delaware. Now, when we're first introduced to Ian, like in the first chapter after the prologue where the old guy dies in the car crash, Ian is having this really, really horrible nightmare in which he's sort of like racing through the hallways of this school, and it's kind of like burning and like falling in around him, like the floors is falling in and the ceilings are falling in, and he keeps seeing like these creepy figures like in the smoke, and he's like hearing somebody call for help, and there's like other creepy imagery that I won't really spoil. So he wakes up from this nightmare. And it's actually the first day of school. Like, his alarm is going off and he has to get ready to go. So he figures, oh, well, you know, I'm just nervous about this being my first full-time teaching job and it's the first day and blah, blah, blah. So I'm just, you know, anxious about that. So that's why I'm having nightmares. So they kind of establish, there's a little bit as you go, as the story goes on, you learn a little bit more about Ian's character. He actually really, he says he didn't really like school when he was growing up. But he wanted to be the kind of teacher that would have gotten him more interested in school. So he's very, very into teaching. He doesn't really care about making a shit ton of money. He just wants to at least inspire a few people and make school interesting for them because he knows how hard school can be. So he's just taken this job at this middle school, sort of, he's not really like, oh, I don't want to work here for, you know, anything like that. But he's just kind of like, oh, I'm taking this for now, like to get some experience because he has, you know, he's subbed and things, but this is his first full-time one. And he's like, but eventually I'd like to go back to college and get my master's in, with a view to teaching at the college level. So that's what he would want to do. So then our second main character is a young woman. She's very pretty, very attractive, but she's also kind of like anxiety, like has some anxiety issues. And her name is Michelle Thompson. Now, she has actually taken a job at the same school, and she's going to be teaching religion. Now, she's seems to be at something of a crossroads in her life. She's had to move in with her aunt and uncle. I guess it was like some kind of relationship that broke up or whatever. And she's moved in with her aunt and uncle in this little town in Delaware until she can kind of get this job going, get on her feet. And then, you know, eventually she kind of wants to move on, get married, do that kind of stuff too later on. This, I think, is this is also her first full-time teaching position. So it turns out, as we kind of go along the narrative, that these two teachers were hired at the same time at St. Stephen's Middle School because two of the beloved teachers that they are replacing both died over the summer, one of them from cancer and one of them in a car crash. So now you know what that prologue was referring to. Now, both of these teachers apparently were very well loved by both students and staff. So Ian and Michelle are really worried that they're not going to be able to, you know, live up to the reputations of their predecessors, I guess. But as it turns out, neither of them have too much to worry about in that regard. I mean, they have some other things to worry about. This is a horror novel after all. But yeah, but as far as like their teaching prowess goes, they don't really have to worry about that. The students both love them, love both of them. And the rest of the faculty are like really friendly. Not, I was gonna say like aggressively friendly, not like Rosemary's Baby, the cast of Bets, like the neighbors friendly, not like that, but just like so friendly. You know how some people are just like so nice and so friendly and stuff like that, that it almost like makes you nervous because you're like, what the fuck, what do you want from me, like what's your deal? It's kind of like that. Like, they're all really nice, but you know, not like I said, not in a cast of Bets sort of way, but just enough that it's a little bit unnerving. Another thing that both Ian and Michelle, who are, as I said, both in their like mid to late 20s, I think they're 27, something like that. Another thing that they find a little bit strange is that every single other teacher and every other member of the staff is old as shit. Like, not like vampire old, but they're all like, you know, 70s, 80s, some of them even a little bit older than that. So they're all like fucking ancient, right? So they think that's a little bit weird, but then they're like, well, maybe that's good because, you know, maybe this is such a great job that, you know, people don't want to leave and they just want to like teach here forever. So like, so that's, you know, that's promising, right? Now, they do actually, both of them end up befriending one particular member. Like I said, everybody's really nice. Nobody's mean to them or anything like that. But they do actually specifically make friends with this one guy who's like a janitor there, and his name is Rick. And he's also quite old and has been at the school for a really long time. But he's like a really, really nice dude. And he's kind of the guy that knows a shit ton about the mysterious past of this St. Stephen's Middle School, which, you know, we'll figure out as the story goes on. So as the book progresses, the chapters sort of like alternate back and forth from Ian's perspective to Michelle's. So like I said, you have the prologue with the old guy, hitting the tree at the beginning, and then it goes like Ian Michelle, Ian Michelle, Ian Michelle, and it just does that pretty much throughout the entire book. I don't think there's any deviation from that. So the two of them, because they're the only young people in this school full of old farts, they start developing a romance, sort of, even though it's actually kind of chaste, which I'll get into in a little bit. But independently of each other, they also start experiencing these really weird and really scary, like, paranormal occurrences at the school. Like, Ian in particular starts seeing, like, he'll be looking around his classroom and there's, like, an empty desk where a student didn't show up. And then he'll kind of think that he sees, like, a sort of a blackened figure, like a shadow figure, sitting in the seat, and then he blinks and it's gone. He has, like, a lot of nightmares, again, about the school burning down or about seeing, like, all these kind of blackened figures, like shadow-type figures, burned figures. So he sees that, and then Michelle, she specifically sees this nun who is clearly not alive. Although she doesn't really look ghostly necessarily, but she kind of looks like, I don't know, she says she looks kind of like gray and she like moves really fast. So I don't even know if like Michelle thinks she's a ghost at first. She just kind of sees her and she's like, why is that bitch like glaring at me like that? And just trying to like figure out who it is. But then she asks about it and it turns out that it's somebody named Sister Harriet and she is actually dead. So she keeps seeing that. And then, as I said, they're both having nightmares separately. Also, usually about, something burning or like these black figures, like these burned looking figures. And then they also have, it kind of gets worse and worse. And then they also have these nightmares about their own deaths, like seeing their own funerals or, you know, things like that, which is very upsetting, obviously. Now, one thing, though, is that both of them, even though they're experiencing all this fucked up shit and are both getting, like, really stressed out, like, they can't sleep and they can't, you know, they keep seeing things, like, a lot of times they'll see things, like, while they're at school and it, like, wigs them out and shit. But the thing about it is that they don't, like, tell each other, even though they've sort of started, like I said, doing, like, a little bit of a chaste romance sort of thing where it's, like, let's going out for little coffee dates and talking about their lives and stuff. But it seems like both of them, like, neither one of them really wants to kind of, like, pop that cherry where it's just kind of like, hey, are you seeing ghosts and shit in the school? Because I sure am. You know what I mean? So it just kind of seems like they probably would have talked about that sooner, but it takes, like, more, it's almost, like, halfway through the book before they actually, like, confess to one another, hey, I've been seeing this really weird shit, and they're like, hey, me too. Like, and then they got to, like, kind of figure out what to do. So, as I said, now this book is quite new. Like I said, it's only been out for like a month and a half as of this recording, so I don't really want to spoil any more about it, but it was a pretty solid book. It was pretty entertaining. But I will say that this is, like I said, it's kind of hard for me to like put my finger on. There was something kind of tonally about this one that sort of didn't really resonate with me or kind of kept me at arm's length, I guess, if you want to say that. And as I said, I'm having a hard time, like, articulating what it could be. Although, okay, let me see if I can try and paint a picture for you. For one thing, I kind of got the distinct impression that this story was supposed to be taking place in, like, the 50s or the 60s, but it's not. It's actually set in the present day. So I'm not really sure if you're getting what I'm getting at. The characters in it, like, not the old people, but Ian and Michelle, like, both of them, like they would swear and stuff. Like, if scary shit happened, they'd be like, oh, fuck, or something like that. And they made references to, like, modern things, like modern pop music and shit like that. But the way that it was done sounded like, it sounded like somebody who was really, really sheltered or didn't really know about those things, like, talking about it. Is that weird? And it's just, and the author is, like, a young guy, so I was just kind of like, I don't know, it was just, like, really, really strange. So a lot of the book sounded a little bit prim or prissy. I think that was the first word that kind of came to my mind. It sounded like prissy. That's not exactly right, but maybe prim is better, because I think prissy sounds too mean, and it's not like that. It's just, I don't know. It just sounded very like somebody that was like really sheltered had written it or was trying to get across that these characters were very sheltered, because that's kind of how the characters came across. Now, I realize that the story is taking place, and like I said, it could be just this one because I haven't read Oliver Seneca's other book, which is kind of more like an apocalyptic type story. So it might totally be different, and maybe he was just going for that tone for this particular thing because this book is set in a Catholic school, and pretty much all the characters other than Ian and Michelle are old as fuck. So, and are old fashioned. So, you know, they're very, formal, you know, as, you know, I prefer to be called Mr. Whatever. And they're not like assholes or anything. Like, they're not, you know, super stern or conservative or anything. They're all like really, really friendly, but they're very old fashioned. You know what I mean? They're very old fashioned. They're very formal in their ways. And as I said, that's not too surprising for the old characters because I know like a lot of old people are kind of genteel like that. Maybe genteel is a good word. But Ian and Michelle are supposed to be in their 20s and they kind of act like that too, which I thought was a little bit weird. Because look, it's hard for me to say because I was not raised religiously. I don't really know any people that are particularly, I don't hang out or know any people that are particularly religious. So maybe this is something, maybe this is some kind of like, you know, just a cultural difference, I guess, if you want to say it like that, where it's just like people that go to Catholic school or there or live in these really small, like New England type towns that are all kind of like, you know, based around this little kind of like, let's do the little Oktoberfest festival and let's do, and everything's just very wholesome and stuff. And it's like, I guess I didn't really grow up like that. So it's just really hard for me to relate to. So to me, it seemed almost as though, like, had this story been taking place in like the 50s, I would have been like, oh, okay, I gotcha. You know what I mean? But because it was the modern day, it just seemed a little bit strange. It just seemed a little bit jarring. That's all. But yeah, so everybody just sounds like really sheltered. Like, for example, like Ian and Michelle, who, as I said, they're kind of like the only young people here, but they also have like a lot in common and stuff. And they're kind of like dating, or them start dating. It almost struck me as, you know, in Mystery Science Theater, how they do some of those like dating, like PSAs, like the dating, like short films and stuff that they made for schools and colleges like in the 50s. It kind of reminded me of that a little bit. I don't know. It's just, there's just something like really, really, really weird about it. And like I said, maybe that's why, I don't know. This is my heathen ass. Maybe that's what it is. just the tone of it was very strange and like kind of like old fashioned, as though it was set a long time ago, even though it's the modern day. And I kind of feel like the dialogue had a little bit of that too. There was like, it was very prudish. It seemed a little bit prudish, even though, as I said, the characters swore and stuff like that. But everybody just seemed like, even the young characters seemed very old fashioned. Like, you know, I'm just looking for a man to marry and like someone with faith and blah, blah, blah. Which, you know, that's fine if that's what you're doing. It just, you know, I don't hang out with people like that. So it didn't really, so to me, it just seemed like really like old people stuff. I will say too that a lot of the dialogue seemed kind of not pointless necessarily, but it seems kind of like, it seems very like an aw shucks kind of tone to it. And a lot of the conversations that they had didn't really play into the larger narrative to any great degree. And I kind of got the feeling that, well, he's trying to like give them like quirks and like do like characterization and stuff, but I don't know. I'm not entirely sure like how successful that was, because okay, so the way the story is laid out, like I said, it goes back and forth from like Ian's point of view to Michelle's point of view and just like switches back and forth between them. So the scenes will be like, you know, it's, you know, the scenes, the first day of school from Ian's point of view, and then the first day of school from Michelle's point of view, and like the creepy shit they saw that day. And then there's like other significant school events like carnivals or midterms or whatever. And then there's like, you know, scenes where Ian and Michelle are like going on a coffee date, or they're talking to Rick like about some creepy shit, or like the, you know, the history of the school or whatever, like the terrible shit that happened back in the old days and that kind of stuff. And the whole thing like leads up, the whole thing takes place like right prior to Christmas. Like it ends like right before Christmas, and then we jump ahead a few years. But it seemed like a lot of the dialogue in it, or the conversations in it, were just kind of like prattling for the sake of it. Like, for example, there's a scene where Ian goes over to, like, it's Halloween night, and he goes over to Michelle's house, like, where she lives with her aunt and uncle, and he goes over there and takes Halloween candy, and they're all, like, giving out the kids trick-or-treat. Like I said, it's very, very wholesome, and they're giving out candy and everything, and then there's this kind of this long, it's not long, but it's just, like, you know, several paragraphs of conversation about the aunt and uncle, like, teasing Michelle about, oh, she should have been a great artist and stuff, and, like, getting this big box out and, like, all, and showing Ian, like, all these paintings that she'd done, like, going back to third grade. And it's just, I was like, that's nice and everything, but that doesn't really, like, play into the larger story, like, thematically or anything like that. It was just seemed like it was in there for the sake of being in there, like, you know, and that's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm saying about a lot of the conversations being not really, like, you know, kind of it not really being relevant to, like, the larger narrative or the themes of the story or anything like that. And I will say, too, that the scenes in the middle part of the book get a little bit repetitive, I feel like, because, like, Ian has another dream about, like, seeing burned ghosts or seeing, like, the, you know, the floors or whatever, the ceiling collapsing and fire and stuff. And then Michelle sees the creepy nun a few times and has some dreams that are, they're not the same, but, you know, they're similar enough that I kind of wish that it had been more like a progression of, you know, what's that little, you know, thing. And it's kind of like that because, you know, at the beginning it's like, oh, we see like a couple faces in the window. But I feel like because the book started out with the old guy seeing burned, like charred people, like in the backseat of his car and he crashed. And then you start right out with Ian having a nightmare about the school burning down and about seeing these charred figures. So it's kind of like it just kind of like seemed like it blew its wad, like right at the beginning. Like that's what the main bulk of the thing. And, you know, so the story as it goes along, is just episodic. It's just like more of that. And but it's slightly getting like worse and worse, I guess, as the time goes on. Because later on, they do have like other things that have to do with their own death and stuff like that. But I do kind of feel like, even though I did like that beginning, like with, because it was really, it really sucked you in with this horrific imagery, but then after that, it seemed like it didn't really have any place to go. So it seems like more episodic than kind of like a natural progression. That's the only thing about that. So, you know, I just did kind of wish that it was, as I said, more of a progression than repeated episodes of one or more of the characters seeing essentially variations on the same thing or the same manifestations, the same apparitions or whatever. But as I said, all in all, this is a pretty entertaining kind of cursed school type of story. Has a really good, like, spooky autumn and winter setting, which I'm really into. Again, a lot of the visuals, the way they're described, like the way that the charred people and all that kind of stuff are actually really, really good and, like, really, really spooky. Would actually make a good movie because I could kind of, like, see it in my head, so I thought that was kind of cool. As far as that goes, it's like I kind of feel like maybe the characterization, the dialogue could have been a little bit better. And some stuff probably could have been trimmed out, like some of the dialogue could have been trimmed out or tightened up some, or, you know, more in service of, like, the main story. But overall, I thought this was, like, a pretty good time, and I read it pretty quickly. And if you're just looking for something that's kind of, like, a simple, straightforward, kind of old-fashioned ghost story, this would be a good thing to read around Halloween. It has, you know, some of it takes place on Halloween. As I said, it starts in September or August and September and then just goes up until like right before Christmas break. So it's a very fall and winter type story, like in New England. And so it does have that sort of vibe to it, which I really like. So if you're looking for something like that to put you in that kind of mood, whether it's around Halloween or not, then it's definitely good for that. It's not a super complicated story. You know, it doesn't have like a million subplots or anything like that. It's very, very straightforward. Doesn't have a lot of plot twists or anything like that. But if that's all you're looking for, just kind of like an old-fashioned sort of ghost story. Like I said, this almost kind of gave me the vibe of like The Lady in White, that movie. But even though that's kind of like more of a murder mystery, but it's like a ghost story too. That kind of had a lot more plot tendrils. This one is just pretty straightforward. But as I said, it was a good time overall, so I'd recommend it if you're into that kind of thing. So that will do it for this Tomes of Terror. I will see you guys on the next one. Bye.